evening. Not long after I woke up this morning, one of my brother priests sent me a meme, and it said, "Happy Priest Day." Happy Priest Day. Today, the institution of priesthood, the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the gift of the Holy Eucharist to the church, the symbol, and I use that word cautiously, the symbol of God's love for us. It is the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist, but the Eucharist is itself a symbol of God's love for us. A remembrance, something for us to remember Him by. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in memory of me. I do not tire of reminding you all that you were made in the image and likeness of God. I hope that's just become second nature to you. We were made in the image and likeness of God. It's really beyond our capacity to fully grasp. Now, we were made in the image and likeness of God, and God is love. So we have two fundamental needs. We have two essential needs. I'm not thinking of Maslow's hierarchy of needs right now. I'm thinking of being made in the image and likeness of God. And those two essential, those two fundamental needs, these needs which are, as far as our being goes, as important to us as food and drink, we need to be loved. And we need to love. Now, it's a bit of a cliche. It's a bit of a cliche, and really, I hate to say I get tired of hearing it, but it can become a cliche. It can become essentially saying nothing when I say God loves you. But God does love us. He does. He loves us. When I say it in front of 300 people, it doesn't have the effect that when I say it to one person, one-on-one, face-to-face in the office. And I can see it almost penetrate them, like, you know, to be told that. Because it's a fundamental need that we have to be loved. Who has shown you, you think about this for a minute, in your life, who has shown you unconditional love? No conditions, no strings, no expectations. They just love you. And then who have you loved? See, these are not optional parts of our being. They're requirements. Now, that doesn't mean that we're all hitting on all cylinders. We're not all functioning at the level that we are called to function as creatures made in the image and likeness of God. There are far too many people who have not experienced these things, and they are living a life less than what God has called them to. The love I'm talking about isn't feelings or emotions. It might include feelings and emotions. It certainly does very often include feelings and emotions. The love that I'm talking about is patient and kind and selfless and forgiving and enduring. It's that love. On Holy Thursday, tonight, we remember this great gift of love. And how is it that we remember it? I want you to take a second. I want you to do your best to put yourself at the Last Supper. That's what we're kind of doing here tonight. We're trying to put ourselves at the Last Supper. And again, we know the story. We should know the story anyway. So there they are at the Last Supper. And Jesus is there with his friends, his best of friends. And he knows they're going to betray him. He knows they are going to betray him. In fact, one of them is going to betray him with a kiss and for money. The others are going to betray him out of weakness. but he knows. But there he is. You can imagine. I don't know what the mood of the Last Supper was, but it couldn't have been all somber. There had to be a little laughter, a little fellowship, a little like, hey, you know. And there's Jesus looking at all of them, knowing. But he still does what? He still gets on his knees to wash their feet. Now, we have to remember something about washing feet. Tonight, I'm going to wash some feet. But, you know, I paid to get everybody a pedicure before they came, okay? You know I'm kidding, okay? But it's sanitized. It's my role here tonight. But washing feet was a slave's job. Feet, back in those days, if you could afford shoes, they were open-toed. And the streets were muddy and dirty and nasty and they didn't have leash laws and little bags, okay? It was nasty. And their feet would have been nasty. And so Jesus humbles himself before them, knowing them better than they know themselves. Peter, can't wash my feet. Oh, got to wash my head too, okay? Peter, they will abandon you. I will never abandon you. Jesus, knowing Peter better than he knows himself. Knowing us. You know, he knows us. He knows that we're not going to do great too. He knows we need to be forgiven. 7 times, 70 times. But he gets down and he does this act of humility and he washes their feet. But that's not all he does. What does he do? Then, you know, we think about marriage. I want you to think about marriage. Those of you who have received the gift, the vocation, the calling, the sacrament, the covenant of marriage. You can imagine entering into marriage and knowing you're going to be betrayed and still loving. And still not only loving, Jesus is saying, essentially, you know, it's all men there. So we have to kind of forget the idea of the normal marriage. We just have to think about the idea of laying down your life for another person in an intimate act of love. That's the marriage that Jesus is about to institute. He's going to say, this is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. All the while knowing, as they're laughing and cutting up and thinking, not me, must, you know, whatever. Who knows what's how it's unfolding. But I can imagine the mood is turning more serious. This is my body given for you. This is my blood poured out for you. That's what's happening at the Last Supper. And it's not going to be over until Friday, right? What's going to happen on Friday? His blood is going to be poured out for them. And he loves them anyway. You know, you have two fundamental needs. You need to be loved. Unconditionally. You need to know that you are loved. God loves you. But it's not just that we have to love, be loved. We have to we have to love as well. We have two needs, not one. In a sense, we can all understand that we are loved, but if we don't love in return, it's kind of empty. We have to love, but it's beyond us. So the love of God has to be put into us. Now, how would Jesus go about putting his love into us regularly? How would he nourish his love within us consistently? How would he put his very life into us? Can we think of a way that, some creative way that Jesus might give us his very life, his very love to dwell in us? Maybe a symbol of his love for us. Maybe something we could eat and drink. Maybe. Say yes, Father Mike. Maybe that's what he'd do. Maybe he'd give us some symbol to remember his love for us. That's not just a symbol. It's more than a symbol. It is his very body, blood, soul, and divinity. It is his love. And that's what he's giving to us tonight. A love that is patient, a love that is kind, a love that is selfless, a love that endures, a love that washes feet, changes diapers, visits the hospital, takes care of Alzheimer's, a love that forgives, a love that gives. We're capable of that love. You know why you're capable of that love? Because you were made in the image and likeness of God. Jesus comes to rescue us from ourselves, put his love in us, nourish his love in us. It's not just a symbol. It is a symbol, but it's not just a symbol. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity given to us that we may be transformed into the creatures that God has created us to be, creatures that love and receive love.